Good evening. I was just thinking as we were singing that song about God is with us, just how much of a difference it makes when God is with us. And I know God is so pleased that you're here tonight. I know it's sometimes hard to get here and hard to make time in your schedule to do this. But I also know, having been in care groups many times myself, just how valuable this is. And for me to come here on Thursday nights, for the various things that I was going through, this was just life to me. And I so much look forward to coming here and just really digging into whatever God had to tell me. And so I know God is really pleased that you're here tonight too. And I just hope there's an anticipation and an excitement about what you're going to hear from God tonight. In this time, in our worship time, in your small group time afterwards, just that God really is with us. And just as an exercise for next week, if you want an idea of what to read in your Bible, I've just been reading this week in the book of Mark, and it's the shortest of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with the stories about Jesus, only 16 chapters. And I've just been reading through and looking at all the times when it says that Jesus was with someone. Whenever Jesus was with someone, things just happened. People were healed, they were forgiven, lives were changed. I mean, it was just amazing. And I've just been circling those and just going through, and just, it's only taken me 2 or 3 days to get through the whole book of Mark and just circle all those times when Jesus was with someone. And that's the same thing that God does for us, and that's what he wants to be with us. And he is with us, and he's glad to be with us. So if you want a little exercise for next week, or for this coming week, just look through the book of Mark and maybe take a look at those times when Jesus is with someone. And I'm going to talk a little more about that next week here on Thursday night. But tonight, I want to talk about Jesus being our Savior. Jesus being our Savior. And Dave asked me to speak on this chapter. This is Mike Baker's book, I Am Revealed, and we've been going through the names of God. And this week, it's on the name of God being Savior. And there's a verse in here I love, and it just says, "Is the arm of the Lord too short to save? Is the arm of the Lord too short to save?" And it's almost ludicrous. Of course it's not. You know, his arm can reach anywhere. And of course, if he's with us, then it's absolutely not too short to save. And so I just want to talk a little about how God can save us from so many things. And whatever you're going through right now, you know, God's arm is not too short to save. There's a question that Mike asked at the end of this chapter that I pondered for a little while, and I'll just ask it to you too. He says, "Finish the following sentence with something specific rather than just the word sin." And then he has a quote, "Jesus has saved me from dot, dot, dot." Personalize this statement according to your own experience. And in what ways has that saving made a difference in your life? So he wants us to finish this sentence, "Jesus has saved me from," and list some specific things. I don't know what comes to your mind. A bunch of things come to my mind. And before I mention that, let me preface it with this. I got a text from a friend yesterday, and she was driving through the town where I live, which is called Shenoah. And she was trying to send me a text just to make a joke about how much she loves the town of Shenoah and driving through it, because it means she's almost home. And but her autocorrect changed it to, "I love you so much, and don't you know it?" Something to that effect. She quickly called me and said, "Just ignore any text that you get from me that was autocorrect." And I'm glad she called, because I might have really wondered, wow, what exactly is going on here? But that's not the worst autocorrect. The worst one that I've ever made was, I was writing to a friend who was praying with me about a friend who was sick, dying in the hospital. They thought he could have died any day. And my friend texted me and said, "You know, I hope, you know, I'm praying that he recovers." And I wrote back, and I meant to say, "I hope he does, and soon." But it came out, "I hope he dies, and soon." And I didn't catch it until later in the afternoon. And my friend, when I texted back later to give her an update, she said, "Oh, I just thought, Eric, you must know this illness worse than I do. Better than I do. And you just know that it's going to be better for him that it goes quickly." Oh, No. I hope he does recover. I hope he recovers, not dies. A terrible, terrible autocorrect. And after I told that story to a cousin of mine, he sent me this coaster, if you want to put this on the screen. You know, autocorrect can be your worst enema. But he said, mine takes the cake, though, praying that my friend would die, and quickly. As I looked at that, though, thinking of tonight, you know, autocorrect is not my worst enema or my worst enemy. There's actually a worse enemy for me. And do you want to know who my worst enemy is? Maybe you can guess. It's myself. And when I answered this question, Jesus has saved me from, my answer was one word, myself. Jesus has saved me from myself. Because I was living my life the way that I wanted to live it. I was just doing whatever I wanted to do. And I had no idea that what I was doing could have killed me. No idea. No clue whatsoever. Until I was in a Bible study in Houston, and some guys were talking about some Bible passages saying the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And they said everyone sinned, and everyone deserves death for their sin. And I thought that was a little strong. I was like, I'm not sure I've really done anything. I've been a good Christian kid my whole life in church. And I haven't really done anything that I would probably die for or die because of. And the guy said, why don't you ask God what he thinks about how good you've been? And I said, well, that's fair. And I went home and I just asked God. I said, God, is there something I've done for which I could actually die? And within 2 weeks, God answered my question. And he pointed me to a passage in the book of Romans that listed a whole number of sins, many of which I had done, including sexual activity, both with men and with women. And at the end of that chapter, it said, and those who do such things will die. And I was cut to the heart. This dates me, but the word AIDS was not even a word when I first entered into the kind of activity I was involved in. It was about 3 months later that the Center for Disease Control finally identified that this was happening to men and that they were dying from it, and they gave it a term, but I had already been involved in that lifestyle. And if anyone had that disease at that time, it was a certain death sentence. I had never been checked, never been tested, had no idea. I was just having fun. And I read that passage, and I just thought about everything that God did and all that he created me for and how he wired my body, and I was using it in ways that were not glorifying to him, not honoring to the people I was with. I thought it was loving and kind. I thought it was great. But God opened my eyes and said, Eric, you could die from this. And I don't want you to die. That's why I sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins so you wouldn't have to. And you could live with me forever. And that was the first time I ever realized that I needed a Savior. Because up until that point, I was doing just fine all by myself, at least I thought. And that day I realized, oh my God, I need someone to save me from this, and I cannot save myself. And Jesus was the only person I could think of who could save me. I put my faith in him. He healed me, changed me. I was on a path going this way. He picked me up and he put me on a path going this way. He, in his grace and mercy, gave me a wife. Gave me not just one child or two children or three, four, five, six children. I was on a path that ended in death. And Jesus put me on a path of life. And I look at my life today, 30 years later, I've gone into full-time ministry, I share encouraging messages with people every day in 160 countries around the world. I have homeschooled my kids with my wife, we homeschooled all six of them through high school, I've got two more to go, four of them have graduated now. I would never have chosen homeschooling my children.
if I stayed on the path. I wouldn't have had a wife and children. I wouldn't have had that life. I wouldn't have a ministry. Everything that I do today, I look at that and I go, everything was changed because of that one decision 30 years ago. And it's the same for each of us. There are so many decisions we make that it just changes the trajectory of your life. You make a little course correction here or a big course correction here, 30 years from now, you're going to be in a whole different place. What has Jesus saved you from? I know for me, Jesus saved me from myself, my own worst enemy. And he continues to save me from things as I keep asking him and say, God, help me. God, help me. I happened to write this whole story down. I'd never told it in such detail before until last year. I published a book. It's called 50 Shades of Grace. And it goes into a fair amount of detail. What God did for me. How he changed me. How he changed my thoughts, my feelings, my actions. How he gave me a wife. What that has meant to me. And God's mercy just continues and continues. I happened to be in Israel earlier this year. You can put up that next picture. I was at the city of Capernaum, which is the city where Jesus healed two blind men. And it's the passage that I read in the scripture as I was struggling with this and what to do with what God had revealed to me. And these two blind men came to Jesus and in the city of Capernaum. And they said, we want to see. Have mercy on us. And they asked a question. They said, or Jesus asked a question. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And I felt like Jesus was asking me the same question 30 years ago. Do you believe I can heal you from this too and change you? And I said, if anyone can do it, Jesus can. And I put my arm up in the air. I was just walking down the road in Houston, Texas, reading my Bible, reading that passage. And Jesus changed me. And the next day was entirely different. I was in Capernaum taking my kids and some other people on a tour, and I walked up to Capernaum, and I just realized that was the city where these two blind men were healed. And I happened to have my book in my backpack, which I had just finished, and I took it out, and I took this picture there, and I was like, those words were written 2,000 years ago, and they're still touching me today. The words in this Bible, 2,000-year-old words, and they're still changing us. Read it. Enjoy it. It's God's love letters to you. The next picture, if you want to pop it up, I had a chance to share my testimony with these 35 people back in Capernaum, in that city where the blind men were healed, in that city where, after I read about it, I was healed 2,000 miles away in Houston, Texas, or 7,000 miles, however many it is, probably 7,000. And 2,000 years later. Many of you are Christians in here tonight. And I just want to encourage you, refresh your memory. Jesus has saved me from, and fill in the blank. And you can take great heart from that. Some of you may not have ever put your faith in Christ. And I want to give you a chance right now, in this moment, to do that. It's amazingly simple. At the same time, it can be amazingly hard, because it involves our heart. But the words are easy. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit can autocorrect anything we say that's not quite right. He'll fix it. But I would love to pray with you. If you would like Jesus to save you from your sins, save you for a better life here on earth, save you for an eternity with God in heaven, you can just pray with me and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to change. I need your help. I need a Savior. And then invite His Holy Spirit to come in and help you do that, renew you, refresh you. If you'd like to do that, you can just sit right where you are and just pray with me silently in your head if you want. And just let's pray to the God who is with us, whose arm is not too short to save. Lord, thank you so much for saving me from myself. Lord, for those in here who need a Savior tonight, I pray they would repeat these words after me in their own hearts. Dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I need your help. I need a Savior, and you're the only one who can do it. I invite you, Holy Spirit, into my life to change me, renew me, refresh me, restore me, give me hope, give me healing, give me your heart. Lord, I believe you died for my sins so I could have a new life here on earth and the promise of a certain life with you in heaven forever and ever. And I thank you for that, and I accept that gift of eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.